Well, good evening back to you. Good to see you guys. It is that time of year to where we walk into the church and it's dark. We no longer have the daylight. And it's cold. So I don't mind the cold. I actually, Hudson walked with me over to church this evening, and then Chelsea and the other three followed. And my thought was, why don't we have church outside tonight? that wouldn't probably go over very well, especially for some of our ladies. But that is my thought. This time of year is one of those that it's still t-shirt and shorts weather for me. So everybody else is in thermals and their pullovers, and I'm just like, this is what I signed up for. But also, I played a lot of football in my life, and this is football season, so I'm extremely used to this weather. This evening, I want to continue that thread that we spoke on this morning of the grace of God. But I want the desire is to take this a little different direction. We touched on it a bit this morning as we were speaking on the grace of God, which is the understanding of the character of God in grace and the way grace is given to us. We know that it is unmerited favor. We know that it is something that is undeserved by any of us, that God gives grace because God is love, that God gives grace because God is grace, that in the person of Jesus Christ, that grace was personified. We are able to then attach all the characteristics of God in grace to Jesus. This evening, like I said, I want to continue that thought because this is something that I have dealt with in my Christian walk. And I know that if I have dealt with this, that there are other believers potentially in the congregation tonight that have also dealt with these things. That those moments whenever you fail, those moments whenever you walk away or you seem distant from the Lord, our tendency is to think that God's done with us, that we've messed it up so bad that He could never reuse us again. He could never use us. We could never be a part of furthering the gospel. And that's further from the truth. God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. His forgiveness is unlimited. But we know from the Apostle Paul in Romans 6, where he says that shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, God forbid. We have that answer. So the desire of the Christian should be purity and holiness. That should be our striving desire, is to be more like Christ. That mind might also dwell in you that was in Christ Jesus. That we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would be sanctified, that we would walk closely with the Lord, that we would purify our hearts and our minds. But there are going to be moments, there are moments in the future even, brothers and sisters, I dare to tell you that you will fail. It is what we do in failure then that marks whether or not we understand the grace of God. I know for me as an early believer, the moment I would step out of the will of God, God would break my heart. There is something in those first couple of years after salvation that God just dumps grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And then there seems to be this refining period of the believer where it seemingly seems like God is taking His hand away a little more and a little more and a little more, and He's given us a little more rope to hang ourselves, so to speak. That He allows us to see some of the deeper parts of our pride, the deeper parts of our sin, those things that aren't necessarily surface level, but those things that He wants to draw to the surface to make us understand that there are very deep, personal, hidden sin that if we're not careful, we'll just brush over because it isn't the outright blatant sin that we see of the world. Things of pride, things of selfishness, things of envy and covetousness that even the believer deals with. But if we're not careful, we'll see those things and go, oh, well, those things don't necessarily need to be dealt with because they're not the outright things of fornication or blasphemy or heresy or these big gargantuan sins that we look at. We see it as more of the smaller, obsolete type of sin, and God does not see it that way. God wants to draw those things from the believer. He wants to make you pure. But what we need to understand is that the grace of God that saved us is the same grace that grows us and refines us. And that's what I want to look at this evening. So a little bit of a backstory. We went to the Cover Bridge Festival there in Bridgeton. That's one of our favorite places to go whenever we go. It seems to be the less busy, but it's also the one that has more of your merchant type style rather than some of the plastic overseas type of stuff. And so we love to go there. I'm one of those guys that I get their sirloin tips. That's my favorite thing to go. We couldn't find it, so I ended up getting barbecue. Nevertheless, so we always go. There's a barn that sits right behind the mill. And there is a guy in that barn year round that is a potter. And he has his wheel there and everything, always has clay. And year round, the man sits there during season. And obviously, you guys remember that Chelsea and I, we lived out that way for 5 years in that little house there at the campgrounds. And there would be Saturday mornings, we'd get up and we would have our breakfast as a family, and we'd take a drive over to Bridgeton, specifically to go see that man. And he was kind to Hudson and Hannah. We haven't been back until the Bridge Festival this last year for probably a couple of years. But he was kind to Hudson and Hannah, Hudson specifically, whenever Hudson was about 4, to teach Hudson some of the trade, some of the technique on shaping and forming pottery out of clay. And we went there for Cover Bridge a couple of weeks ago, and I told Chelsea, I said, I want to go just say hey, to see, for one, if he remembers us, but also just to see how he's doing. And we walk in there, and obviously he has all of his shelves, and it's beautiful, beautiful artwork that he does. He does like mugs and things. I have many of them for my coffee because he makes big ones. And I actually went to him a few years ago, and I was like, hey, I need a big coffee mug. And he's like, come back in 2 weeks and I'll have it for you. And we went back and he had me a big coffee mug. And so I wanted to go at least say hi, and it was cram packed. So we walked through, finally got our family there, and I just asked him, do you remember us? And he's like, yeah, I remember you guys. And then I had to explain a little bit to him of who we were. And then it was like, oh, okay. Cause he remembered the face, just didn't quite remember the context. But it got me thinking, because I know this portion of scripture where we're going to be at tonight in Jeremiah 18. And it got me thinking along these same lines of the grace of God and the life of the believer. And I want to share with you just some things that God has had on my heart in hopes to encourage you that if this evening you find yourself distant from God, and it's not on his behalf, but on your behalf. If there's something in your life that you just seem you cannot get over, there are those sins. And I'm not one here to give any credit or any room to the enemy, but there are just those sin in our life. And I know that as I speak that, you guys all have at least one that you think of that you go, I just can't get over it. It just keeps rearing its head. There's always one. There's always one. And I, like I said, I don't want to give credit anywhere other than that the Lord knows those things and you're His. He desires you to once and for all set those things down and set those things, give those things to Him. That He can take the marred things in your clay and He can make something that's perfect. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. So Jeremiah chapter number 18, verses 1 through 4. You guys all there? Okay. Starting in verse number 1, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Sorry, that's really hard for a preacher not to stop on. "I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word again this evening. Thank you that it pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart, that as we open up your word and as we're surrendered to your spirit, Father, you do a refining work in our hearts. Lord, that you can take the things that we've marred, Lord, and you can make it something beautiful. Father, for your glory, Lord, I pray tonight as we expound upon this thought that you would be glorified in it, that we would set aside the things and the sin, the weight that so easily beset us. I pray that tonight that one thing that hinders your people, your believer, your child, might be given up tonight. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So God sends Jeremiah. He doesn't send him into a palace or a temple to go hear his word. Where does he send him? He sends him to a potter. He sends him to the potter's house. You can imagine the whirling of the wheel, the smell of clay. He doesn't send him into somewhere beautiful that's arrayed with gold and fine linens, but he sends him into the potter's house to hear his word. That's why I said there's a moment of pause for a preacher whenever he reads something like that. Because it's often in the places that are unexpected, the places that we don't quite think that we're going to hear from the Lord, that we often hear from him. It's in the everyday struggle. It's in the everyday communication, everyday interaction with others that we hear the word of the Lord. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that God desires to speak to you in the everyday mundane things of your life. He desires that fellowship with you. He desires to speak with you and for you to hear him. This world needs the word of the Lord. They need men and women that hear and speak the word of God. He doesn't send him into a place that's arrayed with fine linen and gold, a palace or a temple, but he sends him to a workshop. And he says to him, "There I will cause thee to hear my words." Sometimes the greatest revelations don't come in the sacred places, but it comes in the simple ones. It comes down in the valley where Jeremiah watches the potter's hands. They're strong and they're steady and they're covered in clay, and the wheel spins and the vessel forms. And then he notices something. The vessel's marred. It's flawed. Something's gone wrong with it. Something's gotten into it. Something's caused it not to be perfect. But here's the beauty in all of it, is that the potter doesn't just throw it away. What does he do? So he made it again another vessel. He doesn't just discard the clay, but he starts again with the same material. That's one of the things that I noticed whenever we would go to our friend, the potter, is that he would mess something up. Maybe something wouldn't shape perfectly like he wanted it to. Maybe something were to happen. And what he would do is he would stop, take it all, clump it up, add some water to it, poof, flop it back down on his wheel and start again. He didn't just discard the material. He uses the same material to shape it and form it into what he wanted it to be. Isaiah 29:16 says, "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not." We are not the ones shaping God. He is the one shaping us. We don't come to him and tell him what we want to do. We come to him and surrender to what he wants us to do. The vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. That means that even whenever it was imperfect, it was still in the hands of God. It was still in the hands of the potter. That even in your imperfection and even in your sin, you are still in the hands of God as a believer. Understand that he's not going to allow something marred into heaven. He's going to shape those things into perfection, into glorification. In Psalms 139, 8 through 10, it says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." This evening you may feel broken, but you're still being held. This evening you may not see the purpose in trial, but his hand has never left you. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you with this, that if you're his and you're in trial, he has not forsaken you. It's something that I need to hear. In those moments of failure, in those moments of trial, in those moments whenever I don't quite understand what's taking place, is that my God has never left me nor forsaken me. He has constantly had me in his hand. There's nothing I can do to remove his hand from my life. There's nothing I can do to mess those things up, because it's him and him alone who holds me. It's nothing in which I can do, nothing in which I have done that warrants him holding me. It's by his grace and his grace alone that those things happen in our lives. Even whenever Peter denied him, Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not," in Luke 22:32. When Jonah ran, God prepared a storm and a fish and a second chance, in Jonah 3:1. When Israel rebelled, God says, "Can I not do with you as this potter?" in Jeremiah 18:6. "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." The potter's hand is patient with his beloved. Have you felt that? This evening, as a believer, have you felt and sensed the patience of God in your life? That if it were not for his mercy, we would easily be consumed. But God did not discard us, even though he had every right to do so. But his grace sustained us. His grace is sufficient. When the pot cracked, whenever it became marred, the potter didn't reach for a new clay. He took the same clay, the same life, and he began again. That's what redemption is. If you look at your life, that's exactly what God did with you as he redeemed you. He didn't take something else. He took you and put a heart of flesh within you. He took out the heart of stone and put within you a heart of flesh, one that could then discern the will of God, one that was then convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and one that was controlled by the yielding to God. That's redemption. That's the grace of God. In Isaiah 43:18 through 19, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it?" We serve a God that specializes in taking what looks ruined and starting something new right where it fell apart and became marred. Did you hear me? He specializes in taking what looks ruined and starting something new right where it fell apart. How many times in my life has God taken what I believe was broken and destroyed and restored it? He's restored it. I can't tell you how many times I prayed the prayer, "God, in spite of me. In spite of me. Restore that which I've destroyed." Moses failed in Egypt, but God started over at the burning bush. David sinned with Bathsheba. But when he repented, God still called him a man after his own heart. Peter denied Jesus, but Jesus restored him and commanded him to feed his sheep. Paul persecuted the church, yet in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he wrote, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." It's the same clay in the hands of a God that can create with it a new vessel. The other thing we need to understand, though, is that the potter applies pressure when the clay resists. The potter will apply pressure whenever the clay resists. There's a reason the clay was marred. There's resistance from the clay. It's not easily molded. Often the potter will use water to soften the clay. God uses the Word of God to soften the heart of the believer. He uses the water, the washing of the water of the Word for His beloved. Stop staying out of the Word of God. This is what God uses to soften the believer. This is what God uses to soften the clay. This is what God uses to mold the vessel. Make sure to be in the Word of God, the washing of the water of the Word. Whenever you see that potter, one of the things that I notice is the more and more he spun the wheel, the faster he spun it, the easier malleable the clay was. It would shape in ways that he couldn't do it as it was spinning slow. Spinning slow was more kind of a refining part of it. The shaping of it comes whenever it spins fast. But that motion, it didn't mean chaos. It's one of the things that I noticed as he spun that fast, he was still very much in control of shaping that piece of clay. The faster the wheel spun, the more control, the more pressure, the more grip he had on that piece of pottery. That's just like you and I. And the moment we think our world is spinning out of control, that there's chaos and tribulation and trial in our life, imagine God as the potter. That as it's spinning out of control, seemingly, God is in control. His hands are ever firmer of a grip upon our lives. As He shapes and molds us, as we see things flying out of control. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, "Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." God uses the spinning of the wheel, the seasons of life, the changes of life, the discomforts of life to develop our endurance and our patience. When Job was crushed by loss, he said, "He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." When Paul was pressed beyond measure, he wrote, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Cast down, but not destroyed." In 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9. The pressure isn't punishment, it's preparation. It's God refusing you to settle for less than what He designed you to become. Understand that. Grace, grace, oh glorious grace. That God won't let you stay the same if you're His. It is one of the distinguishing factors of a true believer. And I know I'm constantly pressing this and pressing this and pressing this. But we are to know them by their fruits. God will not let you stay the same, period. He will not. And then what happens after He shapes and molds it? What does He do with it? He puts it in the fire. after the vessel's shape, and it must be fired, because no potter will leave soft clay. What happens with soft clay? It falls apart. It must go through the heat to be hardened and sealed. It must go. How many times in our life have we faced trial and clinged to the Lord and come out on the other side much greater, much better off than what we were before? Though the trial may be difficult, though those things may be grievous and hard, what has happened on the other side? It's created a vessel. A vessel unto honor. The heat reveals the quality of the clay as well. It's one of the things that I talked about with that potter a few years ago back. I asked him what happens in the fire if that clay isn't what it's supposed to be, if there's weak spots, if there's places that weren't quite what they were supposed to be. It cracks and breaks. It becomes brittle. It's easily broken. So not only should we be shapen by the potter before we go through the fire, but that fire is going to reveal some things in you and I. It's going to reveal some things in the clay. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The heat reveals the quality of the clay. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you may walk through the furnace, but you're not going to walk alone. I know these things seem elementary, but it's often these verses that we skim over in our Christian life. Once we start to mature in our Christian life, these accounts, these things start to not be as miraculous to us anymore. It's something that God has had on my heart here lately, is that we need to go back to the central principles of the Christian faith. We need to be reminded again that it's simple. These things are simple. He's given us instruction for a reason. These accounts are real. These are our brothers and sisters that stood in the furnace, that have endured trial, that whenever you and I face these same things, we can go to the Scriptures and we can see the character and faithfulness of God through trial. Because brothers and sisters, we're going to face trial. We're going to face the fire. It's going to come. Some of us, there's going to be trial more than others. Some of us, you may look out and you say, man, they have it pretty easy. I would say you probably don't know their life entirely. But there are those that haven't quite faced the same hardship. There are some heartaches that are very hard to heal. There are some trials that are very hard to endure. But something that we have that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't have is the testimony of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have the Word of God to encourage us through the fire. We have the Spirit of God that indwells us to encourage us and strengthen us through the trial. He doesn't remove you from the fire. He joins you. He joins you in the fire. And when you come out, you'll be solid and steady and ready, because He's going to pour something into you. Understand that? You're going to be a vessel unto honor. That's what He's creating out of the Christian. He's creating unto Himself vessels unto honor. And then He wants you to pour to other people. God didn't tell Jeremiah, I'll fix the old one. He said He made it again another vessel. And the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so He made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Jesus in Revelation 21:5, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." See, God isn't patching up your old life. He's creating something new with the same hands that formed you the first time. Think about the testimony. I love the testimonies of 7 and 8-year-olds that come to Christ, and that's all they've ever known is a walk with Jesus. What glory to God there is in that. What glory. Don't get me wrong, but there's also something about this 40-year-old drunkard that comes to Christ and he comes to salvation and then he's zealous to good works. There's something about the drug addict that God breaks those chains and puts him into ministry to go preach and share the gospel with those he used to abuse with. There's something about that. There's glory in all of those things. But God takes this same man, this same corrupt, defiled flesh, and he puts within it the Spirit of God to go tell people, I'm different because of him. There's nothing of me that's done this. It's because of him. He gave Noah a fresh beginning in Genesis 9. He gave the world a fresh beginning in the ark. That's the same thing he did for humanity through Jesus Christ. He brought a new covenant through the blood of Jesus. Every time that man ruins what God makes, the potter steps back to the wheel and says, I can start it again. Look throughout history. Every time man is ruined, what has God done? He's come back, says, all right, I'll make it new. What is he going to do with this world? He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. What do you think he can do with you? Though you may seem and feel like you are marred this evening, that there's something that has damaged the clay, understand that you have a potter that can literally take it and make it new. He can make it new. Maybe tonight you feel like the clay. Maybe you feel like right now you're being spun around in chaos, or maybe you're being stretched upon your capacity. Things are being reshaped. You're uncertain about the direction of your life. You're uncertain about the things that are happening right now. Maybe you've been marred by sin or disappointment or the times in which we live. But understand this thing, is that the one that made you still holds you. That even whenever the wheel is spinning, it seems like chaos, he has a firm grasp upon you. That even though you have marred the clay, he can take it and he can make something new out of it. Understand that he still forgives. He still desires fellowship. He still wants to spend time with his beloved. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God does not abandon his work. He doesn't give up on it. You and I, we might mess it up and we might throw it in the trash and say, nope, new hobby. That's not the God you serve. He doesn't give up on a work in which he starts. He perfects it. He perfects it. Trust the pressure. Endure the fire. Because when God starts over, he makes the same thing twice, but he makes it better. He makes it better. There is going to be a day where we are glorified because of Jesus Christ. But as of right now, in the present time in which we live, we're going to face trial. We're going to endure hardship. We're going to be marred by sin. But understand the grace of God, that he doesn't just discard you and say, oh, well, to the next one. That's not the God that we serve. And that's the point, my desire, the thing that I desire to drive home this evening, is that even though you might find yourself as a marred, misshapen, out of place piece of clay, there is a potter that is still holding you firm in his grasp and will continue to shape you until you are perfect. That's grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us examples throughout Scripture to show us exactly where we are, to show us your character in the trials and the fire of life, the things that we endure here on earth. God, that we can go to your word, we can go to your Scripture, we can go to the accounts of the brothers and sisters that have gone before us, and we can see the outcome because you're a God that is gracious and loving. Help us to never forget in the darkness of our sin, in the fire of trial, that we serve a God that is not done with us, that desires us to be more than what we are. Help us to remember that as we go this week. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.